We'll see what happens. Okay. Dealing with sin. I kept everyone back, though, didn't I? Dealing with sin. Those various text messages we're having today, and it's not a long one. This is food for thought, something we need to think about. And Jesus spoke many times about taking up the cross, and that's what we're going to look at today. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, and we thank you that you love us so much, that you were willing to give your life for us. And Father, we just praise you and thank you for the wonderful grace in which we stand. And once again, Lord, all the glory belongs to you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Jesus spoke a lot about taking up our cross. You know, Matthew 10:38, he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And the Gospel of Mark 8:34, when he called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In Mark 10:21, Jesus beholding him loved him and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. In the Gospel of Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And in Luke 14:27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And I was thinking this week, and I was just wondering, have we ever really thought about what Jesus meant when he said those words, take up your cross and follow me? Have we ever comprehended the truth that taking up the cross refers to dealing with sin? You know, most of us, I'm sure, tend to taking up our cross to mean that, you know, there's a cost to following the Lord, and we all understand that. We face trials and persecutions just like our Lord did as he went to the cross. And, you know, when we do God's will for our life, those things come up. And the truth is, and for sure, we do have to do that. But I just wondered, is there so much more than just that? Does taking up our cross mean so much more than just that? It must be, because we're told in 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul says, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Christ died for our sins. You know, Paul had received a message from the Lord, and the message he received from God and delivered to the Corinthians was that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He's meaning here that dying to the sins, he was a sacrifice. He took our place. He made atonement for our sin. And Paul states the fact of the crucifixion. See, Christ died. He states the purpose of the crucifixion for our sins, and he gives the testimony which was according to the Scriptures. Now the fact, and it's a fact, not make-believe, the fact of the death of Jesus on the cross is in perfect accord with all the Old Testament prophecies concerning his death. Every detail in the Old and New Testaments are in perfect harmony as it is relating to the death of Jesus for the sins of the whole world. So the truth then of the Lord's command for us to take up our cross goes way beyond just counting the cost of following Jesus and of doing God's will. It goes way beyond those two. He wants us to understand, to accept, and to bear the cost in dealing on a personal level with our own sin. That's what he's saying. Take up your cross and follow me. You see, the cross in the Lord Jesus Christ's life meant obedience to his Father's will. And we see that fact clearly in Luke 22:42. Jesus said, "Father, if thou be willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done." And even more to the point, it meant obedience to God. And listen carefully, obedience to God as God deals with sin. That's what it meant. To fully comprehend the Lord's cross, we have to understand that the cross was God confronting man's sin. That's what the cross was. And that leaves us, man, with a reality that if the cross of Christ dealt with sin, and it did, then the cross in the believer's life must also do the same. It must deal with our sin. When he hung on that cross, our Lord hung on that cross, remember we notice that he was in the middle of the three crosses. He was on the middle cross. It was in the center of the other two. And for the believer, the cross is absolutely central in their daily walk as a Christian. And that makes the Christian's confrontation against sin as central in their lives as well. And this brings us to the position of personal holiness being the center of our walk with Christ. Now, if a believer truly wants to practice and experience God's will in their life, then they've got to make a commitment. And it's a radical one. A commitment of one in the most deepest and inward parts of our heart and mind to be constantly and vigilantly dealing with sin in our lives. Two things. Now, if a believer does not take up their cross, then they're unworthy to follow Christ. Look at Matthew 10:38. "And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Now, we need to allow this truth to settle a little bit into itself into our minds, and we need to take it to the Lord in a time of deep meditation and prayer before him. Because I'm sure most of those who heard the Lord speak these words were alarmed and even confused. You know, when a person was convicted of a crime in that day and condemned to death, he was usually crucified. Now, they would be forced to take up the cross they were crucified on and carry it to the position where the crucifixion would take place. And to carry the cross is a figurative expression, which means that if we are to follow Jesus and walk in his steps, yes, we must be prepared to suffer and face the trials and ridicules and the burdens, regardless of what happens. But it goes way beyond us following Jesus in a worthy manner of facing persecution. You see, the cross must become central in our lives, which also means, brothers and sisters, dealing with sin must be central in our personal lives. How could it be any other way? How could we be indifferent to sin when we know how severely God had to deal with the issue of sin? Now, we can't even begin to comprehend the cost to God and his Son on the cross. And then how could we say, "Heavenly Father, thank you for laying your Son on your Son, the sin of the whole world, but I'm not too concerned about the sin in my life. I want the blessings and the joys of following you, but I'm not too concerned about the rest. You know, I can't get my head around that. Who could even imagine one moment even thinking like that? If a believer does not take up their cross, in other words, dealing with the sin in their life, then they're not worthy to follow Christ. Secondly, if a believer does not take up their cross, they cannot, listen carefully, be Christ's disciple. Luke 14:27, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Listen, we can do all we like with that, but there's nowhere to go with it. That's the end of the story. That's what Christ said. There's no room to move. We either take up our cross or it's absolutely impossible to be his disciple. I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about being his disciple. Don't try and fudge the books. Don't try and rewrite a little bit of here and there to make it fit and suit. What the Lord said, he said. And the Lord never said anything that he didn't mean. Don't think that it's a... Don't we think it's important then that we understand completely, fully understand, go beyond and deep below the surface and understand and know what it means to bear our cross? It's not just the trials and the persecutions. It's not just hanging in there. It's dealing with our personal sin. Jesus never hides his terms of discipleship. He's given us his terms. He stamped them across his words, and it is non-negotiable. No matter what we want to say about it or do about it, it is non-negotiable. They are absolute. And it is time for us to allow the living Lord to define the terms of discipleship. You know, the very spirit, the character of being a follower of Christ is one who has dealt with and continues to deal with sin in a sharp, fast way in their lives. There's no room for excuses or double talk. There's no place in a believer's life to try and talk away and make excuses for sin that's allowed. Jesus said clearly, "Whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." As much as we'd like to take that out, I'm sure if you looked at some of the modern versions, that's not in there. As much as we'd like to take it out, we can't. It's not talking about losing one's salvation or sinless perfection. We must remember how God sees sin. It is an absolute affront to him. And for us to claim to be his disciples, and we then begin playing around with sin, brothers and sisters, that's a stench in his nostrils. How could we even think of trying to allow sin to be part of our daily lives? Scripture's clear. There must be a cross in the Christian's life. And if we fill that cross with New Testament meaning, we can only come to the conclusion we must take up our cross regarding sin in our lives. We must come to a certain level of obedience to our Lord regarding saying no to sin, otherwise we're not truly following him. That's what he's telling us. Very easy to switch something on and it'll go for a while and it's all right. And then you hear something, now, man, I can't listen to that anymore. Go. It's got to go. It has to go. Thirdly, told you to be quick. Having an intense desire to deal with sin. You know, the cross, isn't it amazing? The cross of Christ did not deal with bad behavior. It did not deal with man's faults. It did not deal with the mistakes that we make. The cross had to do with sin, full stop. That's what gives the cross its place in history. There's nothing else like it. If God had not chosen to deal with sin, then the event of the cross would never have happened. And that means we'd still be lost in our sins. If Adam and Eve, can imagine this, if Adam and Eve had eaten of the tree of life in their fallen nature, then they would have been eternally lost in sin. You ever thought of that? If God hadn't have stepped in and dealt something about it, they would have eventually eaten of the tree of life and would have been eternally lost in their sin. But God put them out of the garden, and God provided a redeemer at the cost of taking the sin of the whole world upon himself, forsaken of his heavenly Father, for the purpose of what? Dealing with sin on a cross. No other way. And if the crucifixion of Christ on the cross did not happen, then all of us here right now would be lost in our sin. Now, understanding this, we cannot look rightly at the cross without having a deep-rooted understanding of the nature of sin and what it cost God to forgive our sin. And we need to stir up the hearts and minds to understanding more of the nature of what is meant by the word cross. Remember that as God dealt with sin in the cross, he dealt with man and he dealt with it bang. Now, how, brothers and sisters, could it be any less for us to deal with it the same way in our lives? See, God hasn't dealt with sin completely and thoroughly on the cross, then hardly deal with it in the sins of his children. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." You see, God made Christ a sin offering, an offering or sacrifice for sin, and God treated Jesus, his son, as if he were the sinner, because he took the sinner's place. He suffered all the agony and all the pain of an eternal hell so we wouldn't have to. And that's the sure punishment of a lost sinner. Eternal hell. And after Jesus paid that sin debt in full, he rose from the dead and he so conquered death, hell and the grave. You see, death is the punishment and consequence of sin. And Jesus suffered it all in his body on that tree. He was subjected to the suffering and the pain and the anguish that sinners will go through in the lake of fire for eternity unless they believe on him and accept his sacrificial atonement of God's precious Son. And in order for Jesus to take the sinner's place, it was a divine necessity that Jesus suffer all the agony of an eternal hell. You know, God made Jesus sin, that's singular, for us. And it's a sin of unbelief that condemns people. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And sin was the reason for the cross. And when Jesus says, "Take up your cross and follow me," it's not just the cost, not just the suffering, That means we have to deal personally with the sin that's in our life. And when God looks upon the born-again believer, he sees Christ. He sees that cross. And Christ said to us, take up your cross and follow me. See, unbelief is the sin that's damned every sinner that's in hell today and every sinner that will be in hell tomorrow. But when God looks upon us, he sees his son. We're sons of God, joint heirs with Christ. God dealt with sin on the cross, and we should have the same intense desire to deal with the sin in our life. Take up our cross is so much more than just putting up with life. That means we're worthy to follow him and to be his disciple as we deal with the sin in our life. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again to the simplicity of your word. And we thank you, Lord, for the power of it. We praise you for what you have done for us. And Lord, as I look at my life, Lord, and Father, I thank you that you've provided a cross where we can deal with our sin. What a blessing that is. And help us to do that, Lord. Help us to see, Lord, that when we take up our cross, it's not just to put up with life. It's to deal with the sin, Lord, that so easily besets us. And we thank you that we have a way, a truth and a life in our Saviour that sets us free from the condemnation of this world to help us to live worthy of that call. These things we pray in the precious name of our Saviour. Amen.